something for the weekend on Saturday. How are you? It is Trina Mara here, and on the line we've got a very well-known Hollywood director, Paul Feig. Welcome, Paul. How are you?
I'm good, Trina. How are you? It's great to talk to you.
I can tell, even though we're on the phone, I bet you're wearing a suit right now, are you?
always. Never out of a suit.
I didn't really want to say, oh, what are you wearing? But are you in a suit? You are.
You did it perfectly. It was not creepy at all.
Not creepy. You got to be so careful, don't you?
I know. I'm telling you.
Paul Feig's lawyers will be on to me going, that was very inappropriate.
Certainly not.
It's funny though, because I've been watching a good bit. You're kind of like obsessed with suits and watches, and you've got quite the collection, haven't you?
Yeah. You know, it's a weird affectation that comes from when I was a kid. I don't know. I've just always loved the look of, you know, guys wearing suits. I just think it's a very classic kind of adult grown-up thing. And, you know, I watched old movies with my mom when I was a kid of, you know, Cary Grant and Fred Astaire, and just kind of went, I want to look like those guys. And so from the neck down now, I look like them. From the head up, I don't know.
Paul, I say, you're out mowing the lawn, are you, wearing a full three-piece suit?
Yes, exactly.
And you know the most worrying bit of all, now this is quite an achievement, you have got more shoes than I have. That is saying something.
Yes, I'm the Imelda Marcos of directors. And that's an old reference, so there you go.
No, I know who exactly.
Look it up, everybody.
No, I know exactly who it is, because I always remember when I was a kid, I think it's a hereditary thing, the shoes in our family, because my mother was the same and my grandmother was the same, and they used to call my grandmother Imelda Marcos. That was her nickname. So yeah, it's definitely in the genes. But the problem is I can't wear them. I have them all, but I can't wear them because heels are painful. Look, it's great to have you. And I think I spoke to you for Bridesmaids many years ago. It's great to have a director who's so open to, you know, doing interviews and talking to people, because you're meant to be kind of behind the camera and not as involved, but you love it, don't you?
Yeah, well, I was an actor for a long time and a stand-up comedian for a long time, so I've got the ego that enjoys doing this kind of thing. And I love to push my movies. I mean, you know, if not me, then who, right?
The ego and the fear that everything is going to go wrong, that never leaves you when you become an actor.
No, it only gets worse when you become a director, to be quite honest.
Yeah, I'd say it's a lot of pressure, is it, on your shoulders, that if things go wrong, they'll blame you?
Oh, yeah, no, nobody else gets the blame other than the director if things don't go well.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, you know, but look, I love it. I would never trade it for $1 million. You know, it's so much fun to do and to get to make movies with great people, you know, and with these amazing actors, and then work with these amazing creative people behind the scenes of costumers and set designers. You know, every day is a thrill.
Well, I mean, the costume department would be right up your street anyway, given for your love of clothes as well. So
yes.
The latest thing that is due out is on Netflix. Tell me all about it.
Yeah. It's called The School for Good and Evil, and it's a really fun, emotional, big story of these two young women who live in this very small village, and one is the daughter of a witch, the other is wants to be a princess, and they find out there's a school that trains fairy tale heroes and villains, and they apply to it, and they're taken there, but then the princess is dropped into the school for evil, and the witch is dropped into the school for good, and then we get to find out why throughout the whole giant adventure.
Wow, that sounds intriguing. Now tell me, who's in the cast?
We've got, in our adult roles, we've got Charlize Theron, Kerry Washington, Lawrence Fishburne, Michelle Yeoh, Kate Blanchett, and then some other really fun people. And then we've got a young cast, amazing young cast, headed up by Sophia Ann Caruso and Sophia Wiley. You might know Sophia Wiley from TikTok and also from High School Musical, the TV series. Mm-hmm. And then Kit Young is also who is on Shadow and Bone. So
yeah.
An amazing cast.
Well, I don't know her from TikTok because I'm 40, Paul.
Well,
TikTok?
Imagine me as a 60-year-old trying to deal with TikTok.
Isn't it hard? Isn't it hard when all the young ones start asking you, you know, things about that and you're like, what are you talking about? Although I'd say you're quite on top of it, being in the job that you're in.
Well, I'm on top of hiring people who know how to do it.
Yes, yeah.
My poor assistants, all they have to deal with is, you know, me not being able to ever work anything on my phone. So I'm definitely in the the category of when I was growing up, my parents couldn't work a VCR. Well, now here I am on my own, this dinosaur. You know,
I'm so with you. I should be better at this, given that I work in studios all day. But I'm okay in a studio. I'm all right in a radio studio. But when it comes to the phone and apps and things, it's actually quite embarrassing. I try to pretend, you know, that I know what I'm doing, but I really don't.
I've given up. I've given up pretending that I know what I'm doing. My heart sinks every time something needs me to log back in. I'm like, wait, what was my password?
Oh, yeah, I know, yeah. Or, you know, you can just about make a phone call and answer the phone, but forget anything else.
Yeah, so that's about it. I'll do the creative side. Let somebody else handle the technical side.
It's gas because I'd say now if I was to look in your contacts list in your phone, there would be a long, long list of celebs there. Do you become friends with them outside of projects, or is it all kind of just work, and you give them a buzz when you want them to get involved with something?
Yeah, I mean, it's a mix. There's some people that you just really stay close with, and other people you have a great time with, but they're so busy. You know, most of these stars, they're just off the, you know, they're so tightly scheduled that a lot of times you only get like a week and a half to work with them on a movie. So you have to kind of shoot all their stuff, you know, right and back to back. So, but yeah, I always find that there's always like one person on a project that becomes like a very close friend who you hang out with all the time. Somebody like Michelle Yeoh is just such a close friend now. We just see her all the time and, you know, just love her and stuff. But, you know, I love my whole cast. They're just amazing.
You do kind of have a history of working with women, don't you? But there is a man that I want to ask you about, Chris Hemsworth. Is his phone number in there?
Well, his contact info is in there.
Okay, we may need to steal your phone. Do you know, I interviewed him many years ago in London, and when I walked in, I didn't realise he was so tall. And when I walked in, I was so unprofessional. I just said, oh my God, you're gorgeous.
You know, we kind of all say that when we see Chris. and the nicest guy in the world. So it's really not fair that he's that good looking, that nice, and that talented. So,
yeah, it should be actually illegal. Somebody needs to arrest him for that. It shouldn't be allowed.
You should only get two out of three of those, if not just one out of three.
We had a great laugh because his assistant was from Limerick here in Ireland. And I was like, how did you get to be his assistant? He goes, oh, well, you know, I was backpacking around Australia and we became friends. I was like, that is the biggest fluke ever.
That is a chance encounter.
Isn't it just? So I guess sometimes as well in Hollywood, like, it is a case of a chance encounter and, you know, getting that break. Can you remember your first break?
Well, I had a few different ones because I was an actor. Well, I was a stand-up comedian, actually. I started as a stand-up comedian professionally, and my first big break for that is I got on this home video series back in the 80s, because, you know, I was just starting out, and I applied for this and got picked out of thousands of tapes to be on this show with, like, real big professionals at the time, like Howie Mandel and people like that. And so that was a huge break. But then as an actor, you know, I just started getting bigger roles on TV series, network TV series. But they were always, you know, I was always like the sixth or seventh lead. So, you know, still a supporting actor. But I think my biggest break was when I sold Freaks and Geeks as a TV series. Because I was a struggling, you know, I was getting out of acting and wanted to be a filmmaker and a struggling writer. And suddenly that was the thing that took me to the next level.
Were you broke?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I literally bankrupted the family by, I made this movie. I took, when I was on Sabrina the Teenage Witch as an actor, you know, I did the first season on there. It was a hit show. So I took all the money from that and made a little independent film, spent all the money on that, knowing I was going to go back the second season and make more money. And then they called me up in the middle of all that and said, oh, we're actually not going to bring you back to the show. So I had this just horrendous year with this little movie I made that I couldn't get into any film festivals. It really hit the rocks, you know, but then in the middle of that just wrote Freaks and Geeks. And so things got better.
It all took off then. And then, of course, you know, there was Bridesmaids. You did the reboot of Ghostbusters and Ghostbusters After. You got a lot of criticism, didn't you, for that?
Yeah, you know, I mean, some people just had an issue with it, you know, that it had a female cast. And some people were just mad that we did we touched a sacred old property. But, you know, I'm very proud of the movie. And it's you know, it's one of the ones that everybody comes up to me now and says how much they love and how much the kids love it. So in the moment, you get a lot of, if you get weird reactions. I just, you know, that's the great thing about movies in general is that they just exist now. once you get away from whatever weird controversy you had, then people just, you know, settle in and it's just a movie. And
you can't win. I think people don't like you changing their nostalgia, changing their childhood. Last year, yeah. By the way, for Halloween, I was walking around the streets of my neighborhood dressed as Slimer.
Well, there you go.
My little girl was a Ghostbuster, so yeah. Oh, so it's huge in our house still, yeah. But okay. I think it's the parents as well kind of pass it on to their kids, don't they? They're like, you are going to love this movie.
Yeah.
And if you don't, you are not my child.
Yeah, very much so. And then there's this weird kind of like the original Ghostbusters versus mine, you know. But, you know, we've had, you know, so many people come up and say their kids really love, you know, ours as much as, if not more, yeah. than the original one. Just because it's more, you know, it's more of their generation. Any kid, it's hard when you're a kid to watch older movies, you know what I mean? Which is sad because older movies are so great, but you kind of judge the older one versus the newer one. So, you know, but everything sorts itself out. And all the movies in that franchise are just really wonderful.
I'd say kids that are looking at the older movies from the 80s that we loved, they're probably like, yeah. What is that they're using?
Oh,
and it could be like a dial-up, you know, telephone. And they're like, what are they doing? Yeah. Moving their fingers around in a circular movement.
Oh, I know. And I love old black and white movies from the 30s and 40s. So that might as well be, you know, watching hieroglyphics.
Do you have a cinema at home, Paul?
Yeah. We've got a really nice kind of, it's not like a dedicated theater, but a really nice big projector and stuff like that.
Oh, lovely. Yeah. Well, next time I'm there, I'll expect an invite.
Yeah, come on over. We will have a great time watching whatever we want to watch.
Yes, and rooting through your wardrobe. Listen, Paul, it's been lovely to catch up. The School for Good and Evil on Netflix, and I hope you enjoy your time in Ireland. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much. Great talking to you.
Bye-bye. It's something for the weekend on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.